It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT on 100.1 FM. It's your public radio station. We're broadcasting up here on Signal Hill in Kodiak, Alaska. We're at 61 degrees. It's been raining on and off all day, and we're looking for more rain, 60% chance of it for the rest of the day, mainly after 1 p.m. Mostly cloudy skies today, northwest wind to 10. Rain is likely tonight, too. Low of about 53, northwest to 20. And rain is on tap for tomorrow as well, high near 59 tomorrow, northwest to 15. It looks like that rain is going to continue through Friday night anyway. Coming up on the Midday Report, Kodiak sees an uptick in COVID cases. Also, Kodiak High School has a new football coach. And Bristol Bay has broken the record for the total run. Those stories and more, right after national headlines.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Senate Republicans have just blocked a move to open debate on a trillion-dollar bipartisan infrastructure measure. They want to know how it'll be paid for. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy is threatening to withdraw all five of his Republican picks to serve on the Select Committee to further investigate the deadly attack on the U.S. Capitol. NPR's Windsor Johnson reports House Speaker Nancy Pelosi rejected two of McCarthy's picks ahead of the panel's first hearing on Tuesday.
Speaker Pelosi has rejected the appointments of Congressman Jim Jordan and Jim Banks to the Select Committee, saying their past statements and actions show that their participation would threaten the integrity of the investigation. Both voted against certifying the results of the 2020 election. Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy calls Pelosi's decision an egregious abuse of power.
Unless Speaker Pelosi reverses course and seats all five Republicans, we will not participate. No committee in Congress will work if one person is picking all who can serve.
Pelosi has appointed eight members to the Select Committee, including Republican Liz Cheney, a Trump critic who was ousted from her House leadership role earlier this year. Windsor Johnston, NPR News, Washington.
A short time ago, Representative Cheney reacted to the standoff with McCarthy and other fellow Republicans by defending Pelosi.
She objected to two, one of whom may well be a material witness to events that led to that day, that led to January 6th. The other, who disqualified himself by his comments in particular over the last 24 hours, demonstrating that he is not taking this seriously. He is not dealing with the facts of this investigation, but rather viewed it as a political platform.
Cheney's openly condemned former President Donald Trump's baseless claims of election fraud. A chemical leak in a tanker trunk today prompted an evacuation order in LaPorte, Texas, near Houston. Houston Public Media's Kyra Buckley has more.
Local officials say a tank wagon at the Dow plant overpressurized and was venting a harmful chemical called hydroxyethyl acrylate, or HEA. Harris County's top official, Lena Hidalgo, says no injuries have been reported, but there's still danger to the community.
Those materials, that HEA that is in that tanker truck, if it is in fact continuing to react with itself, it could eventually cause a fire, could eventually cause an explosion.
Hidalgo says crews are working to cool the truck. The situation is not new to nearby residents. The area is home to many chemical plants, and a 2014 leak at a DuPont facility killed four workers. I'm Kyra Buckley in Houston.
Harvey Weinstein's pleading not guilty to forcible rape and other charges involving five women in California. He was indicted today. The former movie mogul's already serving a 23-year sentence in New York for rape and sexual assault. The Dow's closed up 285 points. You're listening to NPR News.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
A post on the Facebook page of the Kodiak Emergency Operations Center reports 25 active COVID-19 cases in Kodiak, up from just 3 active cases reported July 19th, 11 days ago. According to their press release yesterday, details regarding test dates and means of transmission are not currently available, but we will be provided as soon as that information becomes available, and we will provide it to you. The pandemic made things difficult for all school sports, but it devastated high school football. From team practices to the Friday night lights, the sport was turned on its head by COVID-19. But the new head football coach for Kodiak High School has his eyes on the ball and is looking forward to getting the program rolling into this upcoming season. Taylor Masterson has been involved in football for nearly his entire adult life. He played and coached at Division II college football schools, and after getting his master's degree, he returned to Alaska to teach. He's also the new PE and health teacher at Kodiak High School. This upcoming week, Monday and Tuesday between 4 and 7 p.m., the team will be picking up their gear for the season, helmets and shoulder pads. Then on Wednesday, the team will be holding its first practice. The times for that aren't ironed out yet, but Masterson expects it to be finalized soon. While he's getting excited, to get started, Masterson acknowledges that a post-COVID future is anything but certain.
Obviously, there's a lot of things that we still have to kind of sit through. I saw that the school board had a meeting last night, and something that they mentioned is who knows what every day is going to bring. You know, tomorrow might bring something very different. So again, probably based off of what we saw last year, you know, things are going to be hit and miss. Things are going to change on the daily.
That said, he's still optimistic.
I'm really excited to get started with the season. I know that there was a lot of seniors last year. We graduated 23, and really tough for those guys. You know, they really missed out on their senior season. So we feel for them. So I'm hoping, you know, we got a young group of guys, freshmen, sophomores, a couple of juniors. So really looking for those guys to kind of step up, fill in, and let those guys know that they're playing for them.
For games and practice time, students, parents, and fans can check the Kodiak Bears High School Football Facebook page. Bristol Bay's 2021 sockeye run is the largest on record. 63.2 million fish have returned to the bay, breaking the 2018 record of 62.9. This is the fourth time since 1952 that the bay's run has surpassed 60 million fish. Tim Sands is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Area Management Biologist for the west side of the fishery. He says the new record shows Bristol Bay's sockeye management is working.
I think it's a shining beacon of sustainable management. You know, we've been prosecuting the commercial salmon fishery in Bristol Bay for 1884, and we're still able to set records on total run. And I think that speaks to the escapement-based management that we use, and it's great.
The Nooshigak District on the west side of the fishery also set several records itself this season. Fishermen there broke the district's record for the daily catch 2 days in a row. They hauled in 1.7 million fish on June 30th and 1.8 million on July 1st. The Nooshigak District's escapement is also the largest on record, with 9.7 million fish swimming up the river, surpassing the 2018 count of 9.5 million. The district's run of 27.2 million fish is the second largest on record, behind the 2018 record of 33 million. Members of the Republican Minority Caucus in the Alaska House have been at the center of the most contentious arguments in the legislature this year. Past minorities have used their power to influence state policy, but the Republican Caucus has pushed it further. While their approach is new, it's rooted in frustrations building among some Republican legislators and voters for years. Alaska Public Media's and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman has this report.
When legislators ended the session early last year due to the COVID-19 pandemic, budget negotiators tied a vote that would lead to a $1,000 permanent fund dividend to funding the emergency response to the pandemic. It passed, with no votes to spare. Homer Republican Representative Sarah Vance voted against it, despite being a supporter of larger dividends. And a day later, Vance told talk radio host Michael Dukes that her caucus was unlikely to allow a similar vote to pass again.
If it had been any other year,
yeah,
we would have done it. We would have called their bluff.
A year later, this spring, proved Vance right. This time, the vote would allow for dividends of $1,100, and this time it failed, leaving dividend funding at just over $500. After the vote, Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed the remaining amount, so there may be no PFDs this year. At the center of this debate are most members of the Republican House Minority Caucus, who joined Vance this time in voting no on drawing money for PFDs and other programs. The Republican legislators' concerns have been brewing for a long time. They believe that there should be much deeper cuts in state spending and that dividends should be much larger. Interviews with some of the members show why things have come to a head. Kevin McCabe of Big Lake was among those who voted no. The vote also would have funded construction projects in the Matanuska-Susitna borough, McCabe's home. He says there was too much pressure to vote yes.
I hate being bullied in the six or so projects that they put into the CBR that were specifically directed at the MATSU to obtain my vote. Frankly, that's, I termed it bully budgeting.
McCabe is among eight first-term House Republicans. All of them voted no on the deal. McCabe likes Dunleavy's proposal to resolve the size of PFDs through a constitutional amendment. New proposals to cut spending or increase state revenue would be addressed later. And McCabe says there's an advantage to dealing with proposals to cut spending after the dividend is set. It would force cuts that the legislature has been unwilling to make.
Frankly, I'm a conservative small government kind of guy, and I believe our government continues to grow.
North Pole Republican Representative Mike Prox also voted against the deal. On top of that, he voted against making the budget date effective on July 1st. The failure of that vote in the House led Dunleavy to say that much of state government would shut down. The shutdown was prevented during a special session in late June. Prox says he's advocating for his principles.
Yeah, nobody wants to shut down the government, put all the employees and all the programs under this much uncertainty. Nobody wants to do that. But we the public, have been talking about this for going on 20 years when it comes right down to it.
Prox wants votes on the three constitutional amendments proposed by the governor, or at least something similar that would put the dividend in the Constitution, limit spending, and require public votes on new taxes. Fairbanks Democratic Representative Adam Wall says the new Republican minority has gone further in its demands than previous minority caucuses have. He says for the legislature to function, the minority can have some say, but ultimately their power should be limited.
When I was in the minority, did I feel like I had a lot of influence? Not really. I mean, we could hold up a three-quarter vote on the CBR for certain budget items, but, you know, there's a price to pay to be in the minority, and there's a reward for being in the majority.
Wohl says the minority caucus Republicans' numbers don't add up. Wohl has proposed a bill to change the dividend formula and introduce an income tax, among other provisions. The measure is intended to balance the budget in the long run. Wohl notes that none of the minority caucus Republicans have put forward a detailed plan.
I'm waiting for them to put out a plan that's a balanced budget plan into the future with balancing revenues and expenditures, including the PFD, without overdrawing the fund. That's what I'm waiting for.
A legislative special session is scheduled to begin on August 2nd. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Alaska has returned to a statewide high alert level as the number of COVID-19 infections and hospitalizations soars again. At the same time, Alaska's vaccination rate has stalled, says state epidemiologist Dr. Joe McLaughlin. He wants Alaskans to know that, quote, "this pandemic is clearly not over," close quote.
What we've seen is a pretty dramatic increase in the number of cases of COVID infection over the last month or so, and especially over the last week. So that's the big thing that's worrying us right now.
In Alaska last week, the state tallied just over 882 new infections. That's up 140% from the week before, says McLaughlin. He says the vast majority of the new coronavirus cases are unvaccinated Alaskans. And there are two big factors driving the increase. One is the rise of the highly contagious Delta variant, which now accounts for most of the new cases. The second, more Alaskans are seeing people in person again, says McLaughlin.
So the more people congregate, the more transmission is going to happen, especially when you've got this Delta variant circulating.
More people are also getting sick enough to go to the hospital from the virus. According to state data, 59 people were hospitalized with the coronavirus in Alaska on Saturday, up from 37 the prior weekend. Dr. Holly Alfrey, chief medical officer at the Alaska Native Medical Center, is watching the uptick firsthand.
Roughly 2 weeks ago, I think we maybe had two inpatients for coronavirus, and this morning we were up to 14. I think it's stretching us significantly at our hospital and all hospitals in Anchorage, and actually hospitals nationwide. So it is very concerning.
Alfrey says all of ANMC's patients who are hospitalized now for coronavirus are unvaccinated. She said she and McLaughlin are urging Alaskans to get vaccinated to help keep the spread of the virus down. New maps put 200 more structures in Juneau's hazard zones for landslides and avalanches. They're among the now roughly 550 structures in the capital city at moderate to severe risk of damage or destruction in a disaster, about half the buildings and homes in the downtown area. KTOO's Claire Strimple has this story.
Juneau's current hazard maps were made in the 1970s. Its new maps were finished this year using advanced technology that paints the most accurate picture of risk in the city's mountainous terrain.
It's a big change.
That's Alexandra Pierce, Juneau's planning manager.
The new maps are much, much easier for us to use and also much, much more accurate. It does mean some changes for people in the community and their properties.
Juneau's planning department has tried to upgrade its outdated maps before, back in the 1990s. But the assembly didn't accept them. Because while the science is rock solid, the politics are where the maps start to crumble. Insurance costs and resale value may change for homes in known hazard areas. Juneau's code restricts construction and subdivision in those places, too. That can generate pushback from the public. Pierce says the city doesn't have information on how insurance rates and values may change. All it's doing is moving to adopt the maps. The conversation about regulations and what's allowed and what's off limits in hazard areas will happen next year.
I recognize, and we all recognize, that people's home is the biggest investment that most of us make in a lifetime. And dealing with issues outside of your control that affect your property can be scary and can be difficult to digest. Our goal in this project was to give the public the most accurate and up-to-date information on the landslide and avalanche hazard areas in downtown Juneau.
What the public wants to do with that information is up to the public and its elected officials. The maps go to Juneau's Planning Commission in mid-August and should be before the Assembly by September. The city's planning department and the contractors who created the new maps will be available at a virtual neighborhood meeting on Wednesday evening. They'll be taking questions and comments from the public. For more information, visit ktoo.org. In Juneau, I'm Claire Strimple.
A growing COVID-19 outbreak in Sitka isn't likely to affect Wednesday's arrival of Alaska's first large cruise ship to bring commercial passengers since 2019. Royal Caribbean officials put out a statement yesterday touting the Serenade of the Seas 7-day cruise to Alaska. Sitka Emergency Operations Center Incident Commander Craig Warren said Tuesday afternoon that, as far as he knows, the stop in Sitka is a go.
We have contacted them and talked with them regarding the ship coming in tomorrow with our high COVID case count here. And as it stands right now, they are still planning on coming in.
That's despite at least 175 active cases of COVID-19 in the community of less than 9,000 people. Royal Caribbean executive Russin Benford said earlier this month that the cruise line monitors COVID-19 activity in the ports that it visits and may adjust its itinerary.
We've seen places around the world that are experiencing a spike. We have conversations internally. We have thresholds and protocols in place. And so if we feel like for the safety of our guests, our crew, and the community, we need to bypass, we can do that. But that's a conversation we'll have with each of the communities. It won't be a decision that we make in a vacuum. It'll be in the context of communication and collaboration.
The line is requiring all passengers 16 and up to be fully vaccinated for its July cruises to Alaska. Cruises to the last frontier from August onwards will require everyone 12 and older to be vaccinated. 97% of the passengers and crew are vaccinated aboard the Serenity of the Seas now. That means fewer restrictions for most passengers while in port. Fully vaccinated guests are free to book independent shore excursions or just stroll through town without a tour group. Groups that include unvaccinated people, like families with kids, will be required to purchase tours through the cruise line. Cruise lines were required by the Centers for Disease Control to coordinate with local authorities in the communities they visit. But Sitka's EOC commander Craig Warren says the agreements are designed to protect communities from infected ships, not the other way around.
In our port agreement, the multi-port agreement that Ketchikan also signed on to, we had put in there that the local health authority could turn a boat away if it had an outbreak, but there was nothing regarding the opposite, turning away a boat for a large outbreak in the community.
This inaugural 2021 voyage will go from Sitka to Hoonah's Icy Strait Point, then on to Juneau and Ketchikan before returning to Seattle next week.
Today's KMXT local news is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Alaska crab shells make fibers bio-friendly. More after this.
Grundin's Deck Boss 15-inch boots feature a protective toe cap, uppers that won't crack, and compression-molded rubber outsoles for better traction on wet decks. Made in USA.
Most people are unaware that our carpets, clothing, car seats, mattresses, even mop heads are coated with metals like copper and aluminum and chemicals. The yarns and fabrics are routinely dosed with fire retardants, anti-odors, and other things for our protection. To the rescue, crab shells from Alaska. All natural Tidal Text treatments are being applied at Lee Fibers in South Carolina. Tidal Text is a drop-in liquid derived from chitosan and crab shells, mostly from snow crab and red king crab from St. Paul Island in the Bering Sea. It's a new partnership with Tidal Vision, proprietary maker of the crab-based product, one of several it began in Juneau 6 years ago. Craig Kasberg is Tidal Vision CEO.
Having a partnership with Lee Fibers was really strategically advantageous for us because they produce the fibers that then get turned into yarns that then get turned into all sorts of woven and non-woven textiles for everything from the automobile industry to the carpet industry to the acoustic sound insulation industry to the mop head industry, you know, to the furniture industry.
Tidal Text provides the same fabric protections but in a bio-friendly way and at far less cost.
All these heavy metals need to be mined, need to be refined, and then need to be modified into these metal-based chemicals. Whereas what we're doing is we're taking an abundant and even problematic byproduct from the seafood industry, and then with a really low-cost extraction method, producing, you know, a biochemistry solution that can provide the same property in these industries.
Kasberg says, but Alaska crab packs the best chitosan punch.
Those species of crab produce the highest yields and the highest molecular weight kytos. So
find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 22, date issued 10 a.m. on July 18th. The Spearden Bay Special Harvest Area will open to commercial salmon fishing at noon Tuesday, July 20th, and remain open until further notice. There will be a 105-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Tuesday, July 20th, to 9 p.m. Saturday, July 24th, in the following areas. In the Northwest Kodiak District, except for the Kajubiak Bay section, will remain closed. The Outer Iakulik and Halibut Bay sections of the Southwest Kodiak District. The Cape Alatak, Alatak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alatak District. And the Southwest Afognak section of the Afognak District. There will be an 81-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Tuesday, July 20th, to 9 p.m. Friday, July 23rd, in the following areas. In the Raspberry Strait, northwest of Afognak, Shuyak Island, Paul's Bay, Paranosa Bay, northeast of Afognak, Duck Bay, and southeast of Afognak sections of the Afognak District. The Humpy Deadman section of the Alatak District, the northeast Kodiak District, except for the Buskin River section, will remain closed, and the eastside Kodiak District. There will be a 57-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Tuesday, July 20th, to 9 p.m. Thursday, July 22nd, in the mainland district. As previously announced, the Azuit Bay section of the Afognak District remains open until further notice. And short notice in-period closures may occur for seine fisheries in the seaward zones of the North Shelikof area as designated in the North Shelikof Strait Sauka Salmon Management Plan. Closure announcements may occur at 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., noon, 2 p.m., 5 p.m., or 8 p.m. on VHF Channel 6. Until further notice, in that portion of the northwest and southwest Kodiak District, south of the latitude of Cape Kuliak, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse seine gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. And other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart in detail in commercial salmon fishing regulations and statistical charts. Harvest strategies and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorder phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Thank you, Mr. Fish and Game. Welcome to your Island Messenger for Wednesday. It is the 21st day of July, the year 2021. The sun rose today at 5:43. It won't set again until 10:47. That will give us 17 hours and 4 minutes of glorious daylight, a loss of 3 minutes and 37 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record low for this day was 39, set in 1965, and our record high was 81, set in 1936. Currently a warm feeling 61. We're looking for a likelihood of rain, 60% chance of precipitation, mainly after 2 p.m. today. Mostly cloudy skies all day with a high of 59. We went right by that. Rain is likely tonight too, 70% chance. Mostly cloudy skies overnight with a low of 53, northwest winds to 20. For tomorrow, rain with a high near 59, northwest wind to 15. And those kind of conditions are looking to go on until Friday night or so. And then we're looking just for a chance of rain on Sunday. We have a high tide coming up here on the east side at 1:16 this afternoon. That will be a 6.3-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 6:06 p.m. of 2.8 feet. Over on the west side in Larsen Bay, your high tide will be at 1:36 this afternoon and be 11.2 feet, followed by a low tide at 7:02 p.m. of 3.8 feet. Well, don't forget, it is Wednesday, and that means the Kodiak National Wildlife Visitor Center's Salmon Camp Day was canceled. Sorry, I didn't pre-read that. Although today's program is canceled, they have some great takeaway information, crafts, activities, and stuff for you to pick up right outside the center from 10 to 2 p.m. So you can pick some great stuff up outside the center 10 to 2 p.m. today. And next week, they will be back with an exciting program on an invasive species. Salmon Camp Day is every Wednesday through September from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. in Sargent Park, weather permitting. Every week, you can stop by for this outdoor, interactive, and self-led programming on Kodiak, Alaska's natural world. The event is open to all ages. For more information, call them at 487-0283. But again, that's 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. every Wednesday. And today, even though they're not having it, you can pick up some great stuff right outside the Kodiak National Wildlife Visitor Center downtown.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.